Now, you and I know that some information, some messages that we get have the tendency to carry huge implications in our lives. You remember like September 11, like that really drastically changed our lives. I mean, 15 years ago, we're still recuperating from some of the things and the devastation that happened. So some messages, some information that we get tend to really rock our world, per se. A visit to the doctor when you already have that test and you're just wondering for good news and you don't know what the doctor's going to come after he opens the door and say, hey, your test results are in. And you're just praying that everything goes well. The death of a loved one unexpectedly. I mean, those are information, news that really shock you. A shooting at a school where your kid goes and, you know, you just put him on the bus. He or she went to school and all of a sudden, you know, you hear on the radio or whatever that there was a shooting there. And that tends to rock your world. You're not prepared for things like that. You see, these are disturbing news. There was a young woman, and she was already preparing a wedding. She was planning a wedding, and, you know, everything was going well. You know, she really loved this man that she was going to marry. And, you know, everything was going well, like DJ was talking about today. Like, things are developing. Everybody looked at you, and it's like, wow, look, things are really unfolding in your life. That's amazing. She was preparing a wedding, but then she had this unexpected visitor one time. And he told her really some disturbing news. To the point that the news would have the implications that she might have to postpone the wedding. Or put that wedding plans on hold because I need you to do something first. You know how it is when something like that would affect us. You know, as human beings, we make plans. You want to go. You've been saving money. You want to go on that vacation. And all of a sudden somebody said, you had to use some money for something else. It would not go well with you, will it? Like when your plans get changed all of a sudden. And so that's the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was getting ready. And the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1 that she had this unexpected visitor. Imagine, I mean, if you and I place ourselves in her shoes, like life goes well, Joseph loves me, and we're planning this wedding, and now some news here that really can rock my world. Can really be, I mean, that's not really what I wanted. That's not, God, that's not what I intended. I mean, hello? You know, maybe you've been there when your plans had to really change drastically. It's not, you know, sometimes things don't go as you expected. I mean, we all have been there, haven't we? So, sometimes we read and study the Christmas story and we kind of like, don't pay attention to the implications of the news that the angel brought to Mary, the implications to her life. And that's what I want to spend some time this morning so we see what's going on there. Luke chapter 1, if you have your Bibles with you, verses 26 through following. There should be Bibles under your seats. Luke, the writer, tells us, verse 26, it starts, it says, in the sixth month. Now, we have been learning about the context. When you read that part, you have no idea 6 months of who. So later on, as you continue reading, you're going to find out what's going on. So it says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Now check this out. Mary was greatly troubled. Some translation would say she was perplexed. She was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with a child and you will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Now, picture this. I mean, you're just planning a wedding, and all the information just came boom on one day. I mean, how would you respond to that? I mean, sometimes we just read the Christmas story and we don't pay attention. Like, I mean, this is like big news, Mary. And that can really affect your relationship with Joseph, by the way, too. I mean, but sometimes we don't even, I mean, we had to really dive into that text and see. I mean, look at the information, the angel Jacob, and he will be great. And it's like, man. And then he says, verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. And then she said, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. So, I mean, maybe you haven't heard that story around Christmas time, but that's the announcement of the birthday of Jesus. In the sixth month, the writer starts saying to us, and so now we understand the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. Many of us knew John because John was the one who came preparing the way for the Messiah. He came and told people, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he says, people thought he was the Messiah. And then he said, I'm not he. He says, after me, somebody else greater than I is coming, which I'm not even worthy to scoop down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, he said, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John was already preparing the way for the Messiah. So you understand by this text that John was at least a year older than Jesus, somewhere in there. I mean, by the time the news to Mary came, John's mother was in the sixth month. And that's what the author is saying to us. So are you with me so far? So when he says in the sixth month, we don't know, sixth month of who? Elizabeth pregnancy, because later on he says it right there. Verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was to be bearing is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. So on the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent Gabriel, one of the angels. Sometimes we talk about angels. There's angels by name in the Bible. Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer was an angel, a good angel, became Satan. So Gabriel, you know, and these angels are archangels, which means that they are more powerful than any other angel. Archangels are, angels have a hierarchy. So Gabriel, you see him in the Old Testament. You saw Michael in the Old Testament. They also called the prince. So the archangels, God sent Gabriel to a town in Galilee, Nazareth, to a virgin pledged to be, she was engaged to be married to Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name we have here is Mary. Now the interesting thing is that Mary was really troubled by the greeting. The angel said to her, hey, greetings, you who are favored by God. Greetings, favored one. And she was like, I mean, it says she was perplexed and troubled by that. What's the meaning of that greeting? Why am I favored by God? What does that actually mean? And that's how she responded when the angel said right there, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And then how do you respond to that? They said, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what type of greeting that was. But then the angel now is going to explain the greeting to her. And he said, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The word, don't be afraid, in the Bible appears like 365 times. So this is just one of those times that don't be afraid. So you got one, don't be afraid for each day. Don't be afraid. So the angel said to Mary, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. What's another word for favor in the Bible? Grace. You have found grace with God. That's beautiful. It's like God looks at you with gracious eyes. God looks at you with favor. That's a beautiful thing. Mary, don't be afraid, the angel said. You are favored by God. God looks to you with grace. And then he goes on to deliver the news. Angel, the word angel means messenger. Now, some of the angels were fighters too. But every time they come, you know, sometimes we have the wrong perception in our society about angels. We think that they were all blonde and blue eyes. There were some angels in the Bible that you saw one in a dream, you were panicking. Because they got eyes all over them and they got six wings and things like that. So every time somebody saw an angel, why? The angel had to always tell him, don't be afraid. Have you ever thought about that? Because if you got an angel visiting you, two things.
Either he has good news or he got bad news. So you didn't know which one it was. So he helped you when he said, don't be afraid. Thank God.
He says, I know. Thank God. Now I know that he's here to deliver good news. Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. God looks to you with grace. God looks to you with favor. And then he goes on to tell him, you will be with a child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, Yeshua. That's the Hebrew word. Jesus is in the Greek. Yeshua, the Jewish people in our community, that's what they call him. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the throne of Jacob, over the house of Jacob forever. Now, it's almost like the angel said, Mary, how would you like to be the mother of the Messiah? Mary, what do you think about this? Would you like to be the mother of the Son of God? You know, like that song that Mary, do you know? She had no idea, really. I mean, he delivers it. I mean, this child is going to be great. I mean, he's going to be known as the Son of the Most High. And he's supposed to be a king because he says that his reign is going to be forever. And you're going to have a baby. And so, I mean, imagine what's going through her head right now. I mean, sometimes we just like, I mean, we read it and it's like, oh, yeah, Mary was like, I mean, this is the news that she's getting. I mean, she was perplexed just by the greeting. Imagine now all this information that this angel gave her. And the only thing she says is like, hold on a moment. How is that going to be possible? Because I'm a virgin. And then, you know, it's like, she's like, I don't know how that's going to work because I'm planning a wedding and in that society, I mean, today, that might not have a lot of implications. The fact that that girl was a virgin means that, you know, in a society in those days, it wasn't dating like we date today. Like, it wasn't like even kissing each other or hugging. And so it's like, Joseph would just go around and wait for the time of the wedding. And so she was a virgin means she has not been with a man intimately. And so she said, like, okay, she's thinking about, you telling me I'm going to have a baby, but how would that be? Because I haven't been with a man. I'm a virgin. I'm just planning a wedding right now. That's the reservation that Mary had. Now, what she's talking about, there was a prophet in the Old Testament that already prophesied that a virgin will give birth. And that was 700 years before Jesus. Isaiah, in chapter 7:14, told a king, the Lord will give you a sign. Look, a virgin will give birth to a son. And they are to give his name, they are to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, Mary did not know that that was there, but a prophet already said it. So you see, that prophecy is already being fulfilled. There was a virgin now. We know her name. And the angel came and announced to her, you're going to be with a child. He will be great. He will be a king. In fact, he's going to be known as the Son of God. You know who's known as the Son of God through the New Testament, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. And then I love what the angel, when Mary said, okay, how will that be? How is that possible? She said, I mean, she has some good questions. Like, I'm a virgin. And the angel said, Mary, leave the details to God. Don't worry about the details. God will take care of the rest. You know, and sometimes I think we can learn so much about that because we planning things. We plan and we orchestrate things. And sometimes things might not go as you plan it. And the angel said to Mary, just what? Just don't worry about the details. God will take care of that. Yes, we know that you're a virgin. That's why we came. That's why I'm here. And look what he says. The angel said, verse 34, how will this be, Mary asked, as the angel, since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The word there, it will envelop you, the Holy Spirit. And then he says, so that the Holy One to be born, now he's called the Holy One to be born, will be called the Son of God. Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was supposed to be barren is in his sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God, says the angel to Mary. Now, this whole idea, I always wish that I could examine Jesus' DNA. Because I think if you were to examine Jesus' DNA, you would not find a male DNA anywhere there. Because Jesus did not have, it wasn't by the will of man The only instrument that they used was a woman. And you see, for us, that's scientifically impossible. But you know, I know sometimes we think scientifically and we put God in a box, but you and I cannot put God in a box because we cannot build a big enough box to put him in. Like the angels, I mean, yeah, you know that to have a baby, you need a cell from a man and a cell from a woman. That's how it works. And Mary said, that's what she said. How would that be? How is that possible? I'm a virgin. And Joseph has nothing to do with this. It's like, don't worry, Mary. The Holy Spirit will come and overshadow you so that the child that's supposed to be born, it will be called the Son of God. Let me give you a text, because when I read that, my mind goes back to Genesis 3. God already said to Satan one time, Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 14. There's some mystery there, but it's revealed right here. When God said to him, I will put enmity between you and the woman, talking about Satan and Eve. That's right before the fall of man. He says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. And then he says, and the woman's descendant, he will strike your head, crush your head, even though you strike his heel. Let me just go there quick. Chapter 3 of Genesis. Verse 15, God, Elohim talking, says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So God already announced that there was going to be somebody born of a woman. Now notice, he's not talking to Adam here. He's just talking to Eve. God already said that there's going to be somebody born of a woman that was going to be the demise. It's going to be the crusher of Satan. And Isaiah said it right. A virgin will give birth to a son. You know virgins don't give birth. The moment you give birth, you're not a virgin anymore. You know, that doesn't work like that. And say, Isaiah said a virgin will give birth. And now Luke tells us that her name was Mary. And that's what Mary said, well, how would that be possible? Because I'm a woman. So God already saying, I'm going to bring the Messiah. And I will need the help of a man. I just need a woman to be the channel, and she's going to be the one giving birth to the son without the DNA of a male. Again, you look at that, it's like, that's impossible. What did the angel tell Mary? Even Elizabeth, she's already old and she's going to have a baby, because there's nothing impossible with God. I mean, sometimes, you know, we want to put God into a box, and there's so many things in the Bible, like, that when God told somebody you had to believe, believing meant that you had to step out of the boat. Peter, you want to walk on water, you had to launch yourself and you can do it. Through me, you will be able to do it. Nothing is impossible with God. And I think we can learn so much about the story of Mary, because we might go through a lot of issues and bigger than ourselves, and we don't know how we're going to handle them, but we know somebody who can. We know somebody who's bigger, and I pray that I don't put you in a box, because there's no way that I can build a box big enough to put you in. You know, God will break logic. He defies logic. You cannot logically think about, they got to be like that, because he will just break it. Older people giving birth. A little boy killing a giant, and the giant was a fighting man, and this guy just dealt with sheep. Hello? People will say, well, that's just folk tales. I mean, God doesn't really, you know what I mean? Like, that's what people are going to think. And I kid you not, I met somebody who was cured from AIDS. Well, you know, how can that be possible? By the grace of God. Because if God wants to do it, he can do it. That's what the angel told Mary, hey, you're gonna be with a child. And yes, Joseph had nothing to do with this. It's you. And you are to give him the name Yeshua, Jesus, because he will be great. And even Elizabeth, because she's already pregnant. Even though she's already old, because nothing is impossible with God. Jesus one time told a man. This man come to Jesus desperate because his son was being tormented by demons. And the man brought the son to the apostles. The apostles could not cast out the demons. And the apostle was like, but why couldn't we cast them out? Jesus gets angry at the apostle because, you know, you're lacking faith right now. So the man comes to Jesus and says, Lord, I brought my son to the apostles and they couldn't do anything. But if you can, please help us. Jesus said this, if I can, Then he says, everything is possible for he who believes. And then the man said, well, just help me believe more, please. Maybe that's you and I. Help me believe. And then Jesus cured the man. So the angel says those words, nothing is impossible with God. Yes, Mary, I know that a lot of things going through your head right now. Just leave the details to God. Yes, I know your plans might have to change drastically, but just hang on. God wants to use you to be the channel by which he's going to bring about the Messiah. And nothing is impossible with God. And now, you and I have to think a little bit also about the effect of that news. I mean, that news, like I say, it could have rocked Mary's world. The fact that you're going to have a baby and you're not even married yet. I mean, in our society, that's okay. People think. In 2,000 years ago, if you were discovered you were pregnant, you were not even married, this sentence was stoning. You would die by stoning. They would stone you to death back in those days. Now, you know, in some Muslim culture, they still do that today. But in the Jewish culture, it's almost like you would not be pregnant without already being married. You would not be living with somebody without being married. That was it. So let's go back now. Think about the implications. The angel just said to her, you're going to be with a child. You're to give him the name. And then he said, how is it going to be? I'm a virgin. The Lord will take care of the details. He's going to envelop you. He's going to cover you. So that the one that's to be born is going to be called Holy One of God. Now, you see, this news could have affected Mary and Joseph's relationship. And you can read that. How did Joseph respond? Matthew tells him he was about to leave. I mean, imagine, Joseph could have gone to the Maury show. You're not the father. I said, well, she's pregnant. I mean, he says that he was ready. He said, you know, I don't want to disgrace her, but I'm going to leave her quietly. Because, you know, the belly's showing already. And, you know, it's not me. So Joseph was already going to do that. So you see, this news we're talking about could have affected Mary in a drastic way. So you've been planning a wedding with this man, and now you're going to be pregnant, not by him. How is he going to respond? You see, that could have, I mean, this news, like I say, was a world-rocking news for Mary because it could have affected your relationship. He might leave you. And then the other thing is, her pregnancy without being married meant in that culture that everybody else in the community, when they found out, they would consider you a prostitute, a hooker. Like, she's not good. And then they would tell everybody else, like, don't be in a relationship with Mary because, you know, she was pregnant. Nobody knows the father. I mean, all the neighbors start talking about. And then one of the implications of this news, the other one would be that your family will disown you. They will reject. I mean, you know, the family, because remember in those days, names were so important. You know, today we give people names and it doesn't really matter. But you belong to a family name, you got to keep that name. It's like in the Japanese culture. You know how they honor that name? You got to be in the community. You got to honor this name. How dare you dishonor us? So Mary would really bring disgrace to her family. If they found out she was pregnant, she wasn't even married. And the other thing that I told you already, she will be killed by stoning. There were so many sins that will be killed. You'll be killed by stoning. That was one of those. You know, adultery also. I mean, they will kill you. I mean, and then they will bring you to the, like, you remember that woman that was caught in adultery and they brought her to Jesus? Because it wasn't just like, we're going to stone you and nobody else is going to. No, we bring you to the public place and everybody get ready. So it's almost like to humiliate you that they're stoning you in front of everybody. So that could have happened to Mary. The fact that she is going to be with a baby and that was the culture that she lived in. So imagine, it's almost like, see, this news can really affect me. Joseph might leave. I might not even have a wedding. My family's going to wait until they find out. You know how it is, like a kid today, a teenager, it's like they don't even want to tell their parents because, I mean, they might not disown you, but it's almost, they're so devastated that happened. So Mary's like, and when they find that out in the community, they might kill me. Now, go back with me. Really, is this highly favored that you're talking about? I mean, didn't you say that I'm highly favored by God and now I got to do all this thing? Have you thought about that? I mean, greetings, you who are highly favored. Yes, you're going to be with a child that can cause you to be killed. Greetings, you're highly favored, but you're going to be with a child that might cause your loved one to leave you. I mean, we haven't thought about the implications that this news had on Mary. Your highly favored may mean that sometimes you have to be willing to go against your own agenda. To be highly favored by God means sometimes you have to be willing to go against traditions. When you're highly favored by God, it means that sometimes you got to go against your own instinct or things, because it would not even make sense sometimes what God is asking you to do. But He says, all things are possible, and I'm going to go with you. You're highly favored. Now, let me give an example so you understand this idea of when God... Grace is not cheap, by the way. You know, sometimes people, oh, well, I'm saved by grace. And they think that, oh, it's great. I'm glad you're saved by grace. But grace ain't cheap. You know, it costs a lot. Noah, when God told him, chapter 6 in Genesis, the Bible says that... Chapter 6, that God looked to Noah with favor. And Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, he says. And then God told him, you got to build an ark because I'm going to destroy mankind because they're just rotten. I mean, you see, Noah found favor in the eyes of God, but he still had to work hard to build the ark. You understand what I'm saying? So, yes, you're highly favored, but God ain't building the ark for you, Noah. You got to get busy and work on it. So sometimes we talk about, I'm favored by God, like Mary's case. You're favored by God, but you see, this favor that He's giving you, it might cost you. I mean, you know, the family might be mad at you. The man you're going to marry, he might leave you, and people might make fun of you in the community, and yet you're highly favored. You see what I'm talking about? So it's like, yes, she was highly favored. And you see how she responded later on. So like I said, grace is not cheap. It demands us to sacrifice something. It requires us to go against our own instinct. It requires us to go against our community. It requires us to go against our traditions. When He pours out our grace, His grace on us, it causes us to have to act upon something. Like I said, when God told people, I'll be with you, like He told Moses, go get my people from Egypt. Moses did not want to go, of course. It's like, send somebody else. Finally, He told God, go get, I will be with you. Moses apparently thought, that's not enough still. It's like, I'm going with you, and this is going to be a sign. So, you see, I'm with you, I'm looking to you with grace, but it's your job still to go back to Egypt, talk to Pharaoh. I'm not going to do the talking for you, Moses, you go. So grace is like that. That He gives you something, but it still requires you to act upon it, to do something. Mary had to decide what she's going to do here with all this information. God asked Mary to be the mother of the Savior, but this carried lots and lots of implications. Like I said, God's grace is not cheap because it demands us to change something in our lives, or to go even against our own desires and things that we want to do. Now, how did Mary respond to that? Verse 37 through 38. 38 says, she said, I am the Lord's servant. Some translation would say, if you got the ESV, it might say, I am the Lord's slave. In other words, whatever you want to do, Lord, I'm willing. She said, may it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Listen to the look at the willingness of this young woman. She placed herself, even though this has some drastic implications. Said, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, do it. We have a word for that. Say, Lord, I just want to do your will, and not my own, not pursue my own agenda. So Mary's attitude is that she placed herself at the Lord's disposal. I am the Lord's slave. I am the Lord's servant. Do to me whatever you want, whatever you have said. Willingness. See, Mary chose to trust God even when it did not make sense to her. She chose to trust God even when she could not understand the things and how things are going to unfold. But she said, whatever you want to do, Lord, I'm willing. placing herself at Gad's disposal. Mary agreed, she was agreeing to do God's will. And doing God's will for her meant to go against Joseph's ideas, to go against the culture of that day, even to go against your own planning, Mary. It's almost like God's plan for you is this, even though it might go against your own planning, your own agenda. And she said, okay, Lord, bring it. Whatever you want to do, I do. Man, most of you would have done that. It would have saved a lot of headache. Mary just, I mean, she did not even argue with God. Abraham one time argued with God and tried to negotiate. But what about if, you don't see that about Mary here, her willingness to just, you know, despite that news that could have rocked her world, she says, I am your servant. Do to me whatever you want. She trusted God, even when it did not make sense. Even when this really could be drastic at the end of the rope. She knew the implications, but she trusted even when her world was about to be rocked. Because you know the song that says, a baby changes everything? It's coming. It's going to happen. And yeah, it's going to change. I mean, it's changing just to know that you're going to have a baby. Everything is already changing. Just wait until he's coming. Remember after he came that she had to run on a donkey with Joseph because somebody wanted to kill her? It's like, and she's saying to God, yes, whatever you want to do, I do, Lord. She was highly favored. What we're talking about, she's highly favored because she was chosen by God to be the mother of the Messiah. But to be highly favored by God requires you to choose to stay in God's will. It requires you to be shown grace by God requires you to go against your own instinct and your own agendas and your own things because it might not be God's will for you at that moment. And Mary knew it. And she said, you know, even though I was planning a wedding, that's all right. I do whatever you want, Lord. I'm going to go on this one. I'm going to go with you. Despite, you know, this thing that might really be nasty. But since I'm going to go with you, you take care of the nastiness. You do the, because I don't know how you're going to unfold it. I mean, sometimes we ask God in our prayer, like, Lord, but I don't know how you're going to work this out. And, you know, we panic, but the Lord already has a plan. And our job will be, Lord, whatever you want, I'm just going to follow you, and you take care of the mess. No wonder they call him Messiah. He does a lot of, you know, he cleans a lot of messes. And so it's like, he would do that. So she was highly favored because God chose her to be the mother of the Messiah. But guess what? The news for all of us is, do you know that you and I are also highly favored by God? God already has shown grace because God gave you and I the greatest gift ever given. He gave us the Messiah. Grace means that you receive something that you do not deserve. That's what the word literally means. When you give somebody something that they don't deserve, God did that for us. So you and I are highly favored by God. God looks to us with grace because he saw our mess we're in. He looked at our lives and realized, you know, they're gonna go to hell if I don't do something about it. And guess what? I'm going to give you the Messiah even though you do not deserve it. I'm going to give you the Savior even though you're still looking the other way. I'm going to give you this grace even though you don't really deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you anyways. Someone's like, wow. And that's what God did. I mean, the Bible says when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave us what we did not deserve. So you and I are really, truly, highly favored by God. Even when we didn't deserve, his greatest gift came wrapped in a manger nearly 2,000 years ago. The attitude that I take on that is like, thank God for his amazing grace. Daily, you and I are highly favored because he continues to shower blessings upon us. And his grace is never cheap. But always like Mary said, like, I'm willing, Lord, to do whatever you ask me to do. And you take care of the details. Even when I don't understand how you're going to do it, let me just continue trusting you. I will trust in you even when I cannot see where I'm going. Because your grace demands me to just trust you. So the praise team is going to come and they're going to sing the songs of invitation. If you're here today and you still don't know Jesus too much, but you don't know much about him, we'd love to help you get to know him. We'd love to introduce you to him. He is the Messiah. He is the one that was born so that through him, you and I can have life.